Let's go. Welcome, everybody. This is BMW Weekly, episode 113. It is 8th of February, not 18th, 2021.
It's March.
what? It might be. I have no idea. Now, it feels like March again, March 2020, because nothing has changed since. Anyway, so in the BMW Weekly, we talk about the latest, what has happened within the Microsoft 365 area in overall, and kind of a focus on both developer and non-development side. My name is Lasse Ivonen. I'm a program manager in OneDrive SharePoint side of the house, which is extending more and more across the whole platform. And with me as a co-host is Waldek. Who are you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Valdek Mastigas. I am cloud developer advocate for Microsoft 365. And today we have a guest from the UK, MVP, Mr. Tom Morgan. How are you doing, Tom?
Well, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You've been around for a long time related on Microsoft Teams development topics. And unless I'm completely mistaken, you're coming actually from the voice side of the...
Yeah, I've come from the Skype for Business and before that, Link side of the house. So yeah, been around for a while. But yeah.
Can you talk about that actually? Where did you start it and how did you get along within the community?
Yeah, sure. So I kind of started this whole journey when I joined Modality Systems nearly 10 years ago. Before that, I was a .NET developer elsewhere. That got me into kind of voice on a little bit of OCS and then Link mostly, doing development and kind of doing development from the off. And at the time, that was all around kind of UCMA and bots and conversation window extensions. And that became Skype for Business. And then there for the whole Teams journey. And now it's kind of expanding. It's really interesting, actually, how it's expanding out into 365, into the bot framework. Like, it's all these things are kind of coming together. But yeah, so I've been at Modality for that, you know, the whole kind of period, and been MVP for the last 6 years of that, I think, something like that.
Nice.
So yeah, so been around, been in the community. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Actually. Yeah.
So what was the original reason for you to switch from being just a .NET dev to build more things for OCS, Link, and Skype, and now Teams?
Yeah, that's interesting. So it kind of started, started becoming interested in it, I guess, when I was at Modality. And it was just such a rich, at the time, it was a really rich kind of seam of business productivity, of like what we used to call communication-enabled business processes, of like, you know, you've got that kind of context of people communicating through Skype for Business, but then the actual work was being done elsewhere, and they were these two very separate platforms. And what we were trying to do is try and bring them together a little bit by bringing, you know, Skype for Business workloads into your application, or bringing your workload, your application into Skype for Business. Now, Teams is like the perfect extension of that. That's exactly where Microsoft are going as well, right? So it's become such a natural journey of now those things are kind of being joined together that it's sort of made total sense.
It's and on that topic, that was the thinking point, actually, because you come from that side of the house. How successful was that platform? Because at least personally, I'm completely clueless from the voice and voice extensibility and developer. I remember back in whenever 2010 or 2013 with Skype, I remember that there were some APIs, but we, as a personally, when I was a consultant, never concentrated on that. But how successful was that ecosystem?
It's been surprisingly rich. I always think it's been slightly undervalued. I think now actually it's got its fair value representation in Teams, but actually the API support for Skype for Business was always really, really surprisingly good, actually. I think it came from, like, if you think about Skype for Business and before it Link, actually, when it was first came out, it was really the only kind of PBX replacement that was built on software rather than hardware and just ran on Windows machines. And I think because of that, that gave it such a, like, you know, at some point somebody decided to build APIs in from the ground up, and it's made a real difference. And it made a real difference in enterprises as well, because lots and lots of, there's still lots and lots of Skype for Business on-premises installations, and those kind of like the bots and the integration inside the client application is what, you know, really helps enterprises. And we see that with Teams as well now, because the same thing exists in Teams. It's got that rich kind of developer ecosystem, and in a funny sort of way, it has to, right? Microsoft have to have that if they want people to use Teams, and they want workloads to sit alongside Teams and people to use, you know, bring their application. If they want Teams to be the OS for work, which they do, like, they have to provide that developer support. Otherwise, how is that going to happen, right? So
Yeah. Right. So partners is such a big deal of the of our ecosystem and of our story. So making sure that people can actually extend on that. Now, now related on the Skype and business and sorry, Skype for business and learning, can you talk about, just out of curiosity, different kind of scenarios? You talked about embedding things, but is there a kind of a business scenarios making it more approachable than embedding things for us as like, or a bot? If okay, it's still pretty vague, but can you talk about kind of a business scenario where you would do that kind of thing?
Yeah, it tends to be around third-party systems. So it tends to be information in other places, like contact centers are a classic one, right? Where like you want to know who's calling, you want to get some notification that's happening, you want to tie it to the CRM, or you're browsing through a CRM or some other store of data and, oh, this is the account manager. Well, actually, what you really want is their presence right there and like just to be able to kind of ping them immediately. So it's kind of bringing both those worlds together of like the communication and the enterprise together, so they're not seen as separate applications.
Absolutely. And in the past, you would be able to only do it with a bot, right? Because like in the past, I don't recall anything like adaptive cards being available to you, right?
No. So adaptive cards weren't really a thing. You could write bots for Skype for Business that could send text messages and links, but that was it really. It wasn't kind of as rich it is now. Like it doesn't have, and some of the stuff in adaptive cards now is so rich that actually you don't need to kick out to another application now. The thing that you were talking about, you can take those actions, you know, with the buttons and with the, like all the other things that are built in now to adaptive cards. So it's really nice actually, because you're keeping the user productive by allowing them to take the action without needing to push them out to the big enterprise system. You know?
Another thing that I'm curious about is that like you've been around for a while and you've been doing this work for a while. Like how many of the things you have learned in the past, let's say for OCS, can you carry still on as knowledge and experience? And to what extent has that changed and you had to like relearn things for Skype and now relearn things for Teams? Is that the case or not?
There's been quite a technical shift from, because of a lot of the Skype business stuff was on premise first, and then it kind of moved to the cloud. But then Teams was a big reset in terms of it's fully cloud hosted. The model is different. It's very, it's much more kind of not even asynchronous, because UTMA was asynchronous, but it's much more API driven from a cloud provider. You know, you can't do some, so UTMA, you could have complete control over the entire system if you wanted to. These bots were kind of super powerful. You could change all sorts of settings, all sorts of stuff. You can't do that in a multi-tenanted, like Microsoft provided environment. It just doesn't make sense. You know, so there's different ways to solve the same problem, but that's when, for me, it expanded. It expanded away from just Teams. It became part of like Graph as well, because a big part of how you get stuff done now is through the Graph APIs, right? Which makes sense. Like that's how you manage a multi-tenancy system through decent API structures, right? So, the technology has changed. Actually, the way you deal with people's problems and solve business problems, that hasn't really changed. Like the people haven't changed, right? So people have the same requirements, they have the same needs and problems. It's just using different technology to solve these problems.
That almost sounds like a SharePoint background, that sounds exactly the same as what we had with SharePoint, because we were running in the server, full access on everything. And then all of a sudden, because when we moved to the multi-tenant environment, isolation and isolated set of APIs, and then I can imagine that then some of the people in the ecosystem are complaining about, why are you taking this away? Why can't you?
I mean, that was very much originally the case. I recall when BPOS were a thing. That was in 2010.
You need to explain what is BPOS. You're too old. You're using terminology.
Business Productivity Online Suite, that was a thing that was, I think, the first incarnation of Office 365, right? That was the SharePoint Online. Right. And was that already on 2010? Well, was it already? Exactly. I mean, back then, like on premises, we could do exactly as I said, like everything online. We had sandbox with a few APIs. I was like, is that it? Like, what about the rest? Mm-hmm. Right. So that was very much exactly the same thing as you say.
But it's natural, and then one step at a time, we as a Microsoft keep on adding additional APIs and extensibility based on a feedback. But it's interesting to see. I don't know, Tom, do you see that on your side? But still, even today, I was reading some of the comments from the YouTube channel, and people are complaining about, well, this is so limited, then why can't we do X and Y and Z on the cloud?
100%. That's definitely still a thing. Like there's things that have been taken like that aren't the same, and there isn't a perfect match for them, but it's the trade-off, right? Like you can see why. Like like device support is so much better in Teams than it ever was in Skype. So, I mean, mobile, desktop, web, but there's a trade-off to that. Like, it doesn't make sense to have like a desktop SDK that only works in one of the millions of places that Teams works, because
right.
then you end up with these applications that like show up in the Teams client and the mobile, but they don't work anymore. Like, so yeah. there's a consistency drive as well, which I think is really important. And actually, like, mobile use of Teams, I've no idea, must be like crazy high. Like, you know, and it just wouldn't make sense if it was like, well, actually half of the developer tools don't work here. Sorry. You know, like, yeah. there has to be.
Yeah.
And that's you want to go first?
No. You'll go, and I'll go and pick up a coffee. Now I'm jealous because Tom had.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'll be there in a second. Sorry.
So the one thing I wanted to ask, right? When you think about, like, you went at some point from the on-premises work to the cloud, and at some point you mentioned that now you're using more Graph. Do you recall like journey? Okay, so you would start one day with Graph, and there's this whole set suite of APIs, but you recall like how you approached that?
Yeah, I do sort of remember it happening. I feel old. Like, I do remember Graph happening, and there was a lot of confusion at the time. But I think that the way I try and think about it is I think it's okay to think about it as a set of different workloads, and it doesn't have to be a perfect, like, there's one Graph, and Graph is like, it's easier to think about it as workloads under the hood, because that comes through in the technology as well. Like, and some of the calls are different. The throttling is different depending on where you're going. Gotcha. But however, like, you get the benefit of a shared authentication, for instance. So you're not making users authenticate to a million different things. Like, that's huge. You get the consistency of the documentation. I know the Graph team are really passionate about, you know, making sure the documentation is really good, making sure that the calls are as consistent as possible, and that the support is there, like the permission model is clear and all the rest of it. So I think you get all that benefit of that. But still, it is always, you are calling to different workloads. And the reality of something as big as Graph is that your code is going through Graph and it's going to these different workloads, and there's different people behind each of those workloads. Yep. There's different product teams in Microsoft, and that's just the reality. So things will work slightly differently. And they're all coming from, none of them are written brand new either. They've come from, like, it's the old SharePoint API, it's the old Teams API, it's the old ADA, you know what I mean? It's all these things under the hood.
Yeah.
And they may eventually all align perfectly, but like, the reality is it's easier to think about them as different things for the moment, I think.
Is there one thing on your mind that you would wish we do, I don't know, different, better, we did not do?
Not putting you on a spot or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just like, no, what I'm saying, often we have these, like one thing on the road, oh, that thing. Like, I've been thinking about just today, you know?
Yeah, like, I think it should be, one of the things about Graph is that it's become the only way, in a way, to access, or one of the key ways in which organizations access their data, right? So it feels like that should be easy, right? And sometimes we hit, like, so throttling limits are a good example, right? And I completely get why throttling limits, right? And the throttling limits are up against the transactional APIs, which is great, but in some of the workloads, that's the only way to get the data, right? There's no, like, okay, fine, I get your throttling, like, give me some other route where I can just go and get everything all at once, like, in a different mechanism. And that is 100% being worked. Like, it feels like that's way better than it was 6 months ago and 6 months ago and 6 months ago. Things like the change notifications are coming out, making a massive difference.
Yep.
And I think, like, yeah, if they go everywhere, that'll make a massive difference. But, like, also there are some workloads as well. Like, again, this is where, like, you have to know the workloads and know the support, right? Some of these things have, I can't remember what it's called now, but like data export or something, where you can just like get a whole dump of data pushed like a data factory and stuff. So, I think consistency there would be, like, if I had a ask, I guess it would be that.
Cool.
But it has evolved a lot anyway. So
has,
it's just good to see the transition. And last week in the monthly Graph call, we talked about the SharePoint specific resource specific permissions finally getting the Graph, about time. But again, wasn't an easy thing for Jeremy Kelly and the team who's behind of that actually make it happen. But that's one example of a isolated workload and organization with the Graph.
And we've seen really good steps in the team side around dealing with permission problems, because resource specific consent was a huge one for breaking down what were really big, wide permissions that were hard to get through IT into actually what I want is just control over this team. You know,
can you elaborate a little, like, why was that an issue in the past? Like having this access to like everything or nothing?
Yeah. So if you've got an application that you want to install into a team and have it add and remove some channels, let's say, right? Previously, that permission scope is a groups read, write, all permission scope. And it's literally like every group in your tenant, This application needs read, write permission. And so fine, if you've got if it's just you, if you're a small company, it's fine. Go to a big org, rock up to their IT and be like, I want groups read, write, all. Like, nope. Not even going to talk to you. Like, no. Whereas what resource specific consent gave you was actually the ability for the owner of the team, not even an IT admin, that the owner of a team can say, actually, I'm okay with that for this within the scope of this specific team. As a team owner, I can grant consent for that. And so it's a really scoped permission set, which is really nice.
That's a good clarification or good story related on why is it such an important thing for sure. Mm. And then, I think all of the different organizations are now gradually adapting that in a slightly different way, again, matching on their organizational structure and services. But we're finally getting there where it's no longer give me the guard rights rather than give me the specific rights, which is really good.
Yes. So. Yep.
Now, on other topics, we're just conscious about the time as well. Tom, your feelings related on Microsoft Viva announcement last week, because I think that was a really big one.
First thing, what is Viva, right? So last week, I said, you want to explain it,
You can explain it. So
I saw it being announced before. It was Microsoft announced thing because there was I think Mary Jo Foley had a write up. It's there's a thing happening. This is the event.
Yeah.
And I did an update. I was like, oh, I wonder if it's this. And I called out what I think has become maybe Insights, because that was shown at Ignite. I was like, well, that seems about right. Maybe it's that. But it's actually so much more than that. So I kind of got it right, kind of got it wrong. But yeah.
So where you got it right, what was wrong?
So I kind of talked about one bit of it. It's actually four things altogether. And I only kind of thought about one of them, only because it was talked about back at Ignite, and it sounded like the thing, it sounded like what they were going to talk about.
I think it was actually much bigger than anybody really understood, and that reminded me of the one blog post, which I need to now actually go and put it in our articles. because there's one really awesome blog post which actually kind of gets behind of all of the marketing noise, goes detailed on the why this is such a huge deal.
Yes.
And how do we actually bundle things? So first of all, Microsoft Viva is kind of four different things for now. It's the connections, which is for the corporate communications and engaging with companies. It's the topics, which used to be the Project Cortex topics, but now it's actually G8. Is it G8? I think it was G8. Was G8.
Yes.
I should know. anyway, it's from our organization. And then Viva Learning, which is the LinkedIn Learning, and then the Viva Insights, which is the more the personal insights and information around that, and all inside of the Microsoft Teams kind of operating system. Well, the cloud, what do we call it? Microsoft Teams.
The OS for Work.
Cloud system? US?
Yeah. Well, actually, for Learn, right? I think so. Learn is learn across the board, because it's not just the LinkedIn Learn, right? It will also allow other providers to have their content too, right?
And organizations can add their own training. Well, I thought that was a really good idea, actually.
Which really is almost like the learning pathways, which we have provided at some point, but now it goes to the slightly, even more higher quality level. Absolutely. And I'm trying to find the one article that we're getting in the articles. What's your kind of overall thinking, Tom, related on the announcement?
So in a short, Viva, yay or nay?
I think yay. I think it's come at the right time as well. Everybody, we're in a weird place still, aren't we? We're in an odd place. Teams are struggling to stay teams. It feels like it's tough at the moment. Everybody kind of working from home, everybody trying to do all these things. And so I think anything that can help with that is really good. And actually the drive, if you like, between all four of these things is actually the same thing, which is connections and bringing people and information together at the same time and helping people stay connected. And so that's true in all of the things I think that got talked about today. So, it got talked about as part of Viva. So I think that's the kind of drive, and it totally makes sense. And I think I don't really know whether this is something that's been worked on for ages or whether it's been a response to kind of the pandemic. But if it's been a response to the pandemic, then I think it's a good, like, commend Microsoft for doing it, I think. And even if it hasn't, like, it's good timing. But yeah, so you should say it is. Yeah.
And do you see it affect your work or engagements you do or not?
Yeah, I think it will. I think what would be interesting to see, so I think there's two parts to it. It's like, firstly, will we as an organization use this? Yeah, 100%. Like, I think it'll make our organization more, like, work better, be stronger, like, be, you know, we'll be able to take advantage of some of these things. I'm excited as well to see whether there'll be API support for some of this stuff, whether we'll be able to get access to data via insights, whether we'll be able to, like, API push in content through learning. Like, that's where I get excited about stuff, because that opens up, like, the possibility to make all the things better, right? Because we can push more content into Viva from different places. We can take out some of the insights, like, even the, is it, what's the one? Topics, where, you know, kind of acronym busting and stuff like that. That as an API is huge. Like, if that's, if I can add that support into my own applications by using that, the kind of power of the 365 kind of the, both the data and the kind of technology behind that, that's huge. So,
Absolutely. And by the way, just to be super clear on that one, it is an extendable platform. So using Microsoft Graph, Adaptive Card has a big role in the overall thingy. SharePoint Framework is an extensibility model for the connections. And obviously the API surfaces will then enable the partners to take advantage of a lot of the stuff in their solutions.
Cool. So, that's really good.
Yeah. But it's one of the things what we also saw from last week is that we didn't really do a massively awesome, let's say, story related on the extensibility story. So we didn't really go to the extensibility. We didn't cover that pretty much at all. Actually, Jeff mentioned that. Jeff mentioned that on his messaging. We mentioned it in certain areas, but it was more a kind of a business-driven announcement and business-driven messaging for sure.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, okay.
But SharePoint Framework 1.0, should I say this out loud? 1.13 is intended to support more Microsoft, Viva Connection style extensibility. So 1.12 is scheduled to go out within weeks, not in months, not in days either. And then 1.13 later this spring is going to enable additional things. So we'll have more and more stuff available. We'll share more when we can. That's the thing. Should we actually jump on the articles and let's talk about the Viva and all of the other ones there, and then we'll close up. So let me share my screen. And let's actually go here. So first of all, the Microsoft Viva announcement was done in multiple different locations. I think this one was from the Microsoft Teams blog, because anyway, it's all about surfacing stuff in the Microsoft Teams. Just explaining briefly what they are and then going to the actual individual details on every single thing. But I, to be honest, I like the branding as well. I think the color scheme and everything is, like, fresh. It's nice to have something completely new. Whatever the Viva actually means, but that's a separate discussion. So
I keep meaning to look it up and find out if it means something in a language somewhere, but I haven't had a chance.
Viva?
Most likely it will. It meant something in Italian, but I don't know if that was the reference.
Life?
But again, I think it was actually life. Was it
life? Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then this one was the related kind of on Microsoft Teams, if we start from Microsoft Teams side, not related on Viva, but still a good one from the Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams release process, why do I see the feature, but my colleague does not? Or other way around. But anyway, so kind of a good blog post from Martin related on how does this work and why some people are seeing features and other people don't. It's exactly the same actually for SharePoint as well. So whenever we are rolling out features, we don't want to enable things 100% in the big bang. We want to enable those in the smaller circles and smaller group of people. So whenever there's something which might potentially break, because you never know, there might be a regression, we can fall back without an impact for the 100% of the people. So that's really the thinking behind of that. So pushing stuff gradually, 10%, 25%, 50%, 100%. So.
But I guess everyone who runs SaaS at given scale does that, right? Like Facebook, everybody does that, because like you cannot just do that. Like, I mean, you could do, but it's not good for your stress. Like, yeah, did I do like flip to everybody? Yeah.
100%. Like, I turn that around and be like, I know you're angry, but like, if you were in charge, what would you do? Like,
yeah, exactly. Okay. That's a good perspective. Yeah, yeah. And then also understanding that the specific version doesn't necessarily mean a thing. So because in the past, people were always saying, I'm running this version. Why can't I see it? Which is a matching version of whatever somebody else was saying, running. And it's all about when it's flighted, which basically means to whom it's enabled or not. So,
well, but I think the anger comes from lack of knowledge, right? Like, when I'm going to tell you, you're going to get that in a week, I think it's perfectly fine. But then, like, somebody already has that, and then other one not, and it's like, but why? When? And I think that confusion, that sparks that anger, like, this is crap.
Yeah. And it's weird, isn't it? Because, like, we've come up with, like, a release program that makes complete sense for technologists. Like, it's a rolling, floating release. But in some ways, also, like, the communication part of the story is still quite waterfall, isn't it? It's like, yep, oh, we're going to make a press release on this date.
Sure.
Like, it's rolling out.
Yeah.
Like, does that mean I get it?
And no, then we'll have out. Soft like, launch, yeah, and then it's going to be, yeah, to arrive somewhere in the next week, and then, yeah, you might not or do get it. And if things break, then we will stop and roll back. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not such a clean story, but
no, and it's hard to explain, but it's all about human communications, but, like, everything
it is
pretty much
it is
so cool. Moving on other things, so Michelle Parrett, who is a PM, she's an awesome PM on the Microsoft List side of the house. Good video related on updating information at the speed of type, edit in the grid view, and so this is really around enabling people to really, really, really easily edit and modify Microsoft lists and information on the list, and super, super cool as well. A lot of investments on that as well. A lot of announcements on that as well last week.
It's really cool. Recently. This is like, you can see there, like, a little editor, like rich text editor in line on your grid, which is perfect.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool.
This is really cool. Mm.
Cool. And then Microsoft 365 apps say farewell to Internet Explorer 11 and Windows 10.
This is good.
So,
this is weirdly good for partners as well, actually, because partners tend to align their support to what Microsoft do. So, like, this helps, like, narrowing the gap of supported clients. Is good.
Yeah. And the most important thing already today to understand is this, that Microsoft Teams does not support IE11. It's already gone. It is already gone. So if the customer is using IE11,
3 months already.
Yeah, exactly. So and yes, it's not a nice thing that we are forcing people to do these kind of changes. But again, we need to pass forward from there. I don't know when IE11 was released, and it's about time. It's just we need to go to modern browsers. And by the way, the Edge Modern does fall back on the IE11 mode automatically if needed. So it's not like there's a legacy solution support still there. So let's just move on.
Yeah, but still, it's not like, so it's not like IE11 is seriously old.
Yeah,
it's not, it's like really like we're talking about 2 years. No, it's really all piece of tech, right? So
Like, and Teams in the browser, like, now, like, you're making and receiving video calls, you're sharing screens, like, it just doesn't make sense, right?
Exactly. And I mean, like, we moved on from DHTML and all that stuff, right? So
that was bad. HTML5, was it?
DHTML, that was HTML4.
Yeah,
exactly. Silverlight was the big one.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Yeah. Silverlight,
Now, on Silverlight, though, Tom, for you, Silverlight enabled the oh, no, that was ActiveX controls, which would be enabling the
Active channels.
The status indications. That's how we did all of the ActiveX
control. Yes, I worked on a custom one of those. Yeah, it's an ActiveX call. But Silverlight was in CWEs, the conversation window extension that popped out the side of chats. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway,
we go way back.
Yeah, well, I know we're dinosaurs.
Yeah. Way back when in SharePoint, in the 365.
designing SharePoint sites with the beautiful headers from Cathy Duke. Cathy is the branding BM in the SharePoint Online, and basically there's new features and capabilities coming out. And all of this actually is supported also in Viva Connections. So whenever you are then building the Viva Connection experience, you can also define how your headers and footers and all of this is actually being done. So it's all related on the future direction as well. So really cool. So you can actually make beautiful looking things. And whatever you want, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Nice.
Now, SharePoint Roadmap Pit Stop. This came out on Monday after our recording last week ago. Updates on what's happening in January announcement. Dan Holm is popping by in the for a SharePoint Roadmap discussion. Dan used to be leading the marketing team. Now he's in a different role. Moving more on the engineering side of things. Well, Yammer as well. So that's true.
Yeah.
But a nice summary related on the changes in here, what's happening. And obviously, again, it's not just about the SharePoint. It's all about the integration of Microsoft Lists and getting stuff included in Microsoft Teams. I think we're getting more and more aligned. At this point of the time when this blog post was announced, we were not public yet on Viva. So that's good point, a good summary as well. And then we'll go back on the Viva. So there's a new Microsoft Viva block. And in this block, we actually have, I can briefly show that. And there's a four specific articles, which are listing all of the different four capabilities. So the Viva Insights, Viva Connections, Viva Topics, and then Viva Learning. So those individual blog posts had a lot of absolutely brilliant insights on how things are actually being done, This is. You might think about the Viva Connections as the company app, which we announced in Ignite, but in steroids, so kind of a company app plus, and then additional things and a mobile support and all of that stuff, so making it really more flexible. And any partner can modify this in a way they want, which is a super important partner opportunity as well. So people can actually design the information architecture. All of the hub sites and hub connections they do still count inside of the Viva Connection.
Yeah, we see lots of enterprises asking for that. Like, it totally makes sense. So that's cool. Yeah,
absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Now, and this one was the Viva Topics. So really talking about that one. So Viva Topics is the Project Cortex, was the code name, which came to be SharePoint Syntex and then Viva Topics. That's basically the summary related on this one. And then Topics is now G8 as part of the Viva announcement. And then that's really about building that information or knowledge automatically inside of company. So really cool AI and machine learning behind the scenes. And like Tom just called out, having an API surface in all of this and surfacing this information and building extensibility is really, really cool. All in the pipeline as well. So, and it's good to say that it's across the Microsoft 365. Viva Insights. There was a statement which says that this is Microsoft Productivity Score, which isn't actually really the case. The Viva Insights is more about the personal view on things. So really, really my personal feelings and my insights. Yes, that was the right term. I think my insights already has a lot of interesting things because I'm getting the personal assistant? Cortana is sending me daily reminders and then instructions on how to book time, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I do that as well, like block focus time and like taking the last 5 minutes off our meetings as well. Like things that I've started doing all these things in the last 18 months or so as we've sort of been at home. But yeah.
And hopefully all of this will continue after we'll get back to the office.
I think so.
Whenever that happens. So I think we're heading to a more, let's say, human friendly direction for sure. And then the last thing was the Microsoft Viva Learning, really combining the linked learnings and getting the information and learning, learning guidance for the people. So, and again, really, really cool functionalities. And there's a training partners already. I can't remember. I think I mentioned all of them in here somewhere who are part of the announcement. And then people can actually integrate on this as well. So really cool stuff. And that was the kind of the summary. So that was actually relatively nice from Dion. Kind of Viva Connections, Home Sites, Viva Topics is Project Cortex, Topics side of the Project Cortex, Viva Learnings is linked. And this one is the one which we talked about, and we don't quite agree on that. Productivity score is something else, and then the personal analytics, but still a good summary on the things. Few developer news. Microsoft 365 developer blog used to share JavaScript runtime to improve UI experience of Office settings. And this is actually a really good picture. Not the most prettiest picture, but it actually explains the fact that it's a separate runtime versus a one shared runtime. So basically, you can share then the memory access on the code across the different pieces. Makes perfect sense. really, really cool. Yeah. I changed this in Office Setups.
Yeah, it's good where you want to have multiple plugin, like add-ins all sharing the same context, or like being aware of each other. It's going to make it much easier.
Yep. Absolutely. And this one should reduce the package sizes for sure, because then loading multiple times versus the same one, so makes a lot of sense as well. And this one is really cool as well. Best practices updating bot lifecycle events in Microsoft Teams. I think, Tom, you're a specialist on the Microsoft bots or bot framework and building this stuff. So
yeah, this is a really good one, actually. Like, there's no way at the moment to tell when your application gets updated. So that's something that's being added and coming as part of this, as well as being uninstalled. Like, you don't get any of those signals at the moment. So it'd be great to, like, you can imagine it'd be really nice to be able to send users like, hey, we've just updated. These is all the new functionality you can now do.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Really good point. Absolutely. And then knowing when somebody uninstalls and all of those things, so you can track your backend as a partner.
Right. Exactly.
So really important. One from Louis Fries, Microsoft 365 PMP community. So we announced actually Microsoft 365 PMP community, tech community. How do I, if I jump in here?
It is a hub.
It's a hub. Yeah. Thank you.
It's called a hub.
Thank you, Valde. The basic idea of this one is to have a one, just a not a product specific location to share information and ask questions and answer questions, rather than trying to always figure out, especially now that we have Viva, Microsoft 365, Teams, SharePoint, Lists, Project Cortex, whatever. So have a one location where you can go and ask a question or find out what the MVPs are doing and releasing articles here as well. So again, will it fly? We'll see. Really having a collective place where the community is for the community rather than isolated products.
Yeah.
So good. And basically, Louis Fries's notice is calling out how things are working and what's the plan here. We're just thinking about this should have been a blog post, Louis. Maybe we'll release that as a blog post and not rather than an article. But all good. Now, let's go back to you, Tom. So can you talk about what are you writing in your own blog? You have weekly updates?
So I try and keep on top of the sort of stuff that's aimed at Microsoft Teams developers. And sometimes it goes sideways a bit to just team stuff, and sometimes it goes sideways the other way to just developer stuff. So I try and kind of do those kind of blog posts. And then, every week I do like a weekly update video, tends to be about 10 to 15 minutes, just kind of running through some links, either blogs that I've done in the week or links to things that I haven't written up as entire blog posts because they're not really I haven't got anything to add really. Just talking them through. So I do all that on my sort of blog and all on my YouTube channel. And I do a bunch of videos as well. There's some around like building applications in Teams. Like, why would you build applications in Teams to start with? What's the reason? And then how do you do it? Like, where can you start? Because there's quite a few different entry points. It can be a bit confusing. And then some other ones, there's like a bot framework versus Power Virtual Agents, because those are two ways of building bots, for instance, right?
Yep.
So which one should you use when? And then there's a focus as well on like bringing stuff from legacy systems into Teams well. So
super cool. What was your conclusion out of the Microsoft Bot Wars?
It depends.
Exactly.
Classic consulting answer, right?
But, exactly.
It completely depends on like what you're trying to do and who you are. Like, if you're a developer and you're happy and you like want to build something extensible, go look at bot framework. There's lots of tools. Like, if you don't want to write any code and you're kind of put off by the code idea around bots, absolutely go and have a look at Power Virtual Agents. If you've already made loads of investment in Power Automate Flows, definitely go and have a look at Power Virtual Agents as well. So, and then Bot Framework Composer sits really nicely in the middle there as a kind of either a way of like a less coding way of building bots. But actually, for me, what's really good is have a developer and a subject matter expert sit down together in front of Bot Framework Composer, because you can visualize what your bot's doing, and that's huge. So,
Absolutely. Really good summary, by the way. And it always depends. There's so many ways of achieving the same outcome. So there's different ways to evaluate. Which is why we should never, ever call out the session called best practices for building X and Y and Z, because, well, it depends. What is the best practice?
In that particular case, that was the best practice.
Well, that... sure. Now, coming back on the Viva discussion, this one was my favorite from last Thursday, related on the what is Microsoft Viva. Wasn't really that marketing specific, more related on, okay, so what's the opportunity? Why does it matter? What is the partner opportunity as well? And why is Microsoft investing in here? So really, really a good summary on the different options as well. So really, really cool. rather than just the marketing noise. So I think it was, when is it saying? It's $300 billion business every single year or something. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually
in that paragraph.
I wouldn't say it was a marketing noise, right? I mean, the marketing part is explaining more about what it is.
Absolutely.
But then you missed it. Like many folks who aren't in this space miss the context of like, okay, but why? Why is this important? And this article exactly explains this. Why is this such a big thing? Right. So I guess ideally you want to have them both. You want to have the marketing part explaining you this is what it is, and this is in brief what you can do. But then the backstory, which is this one, explains you, okay, why would you care?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Super important piece as well. Good. And then a few articles which were tagged with the hashtag BMP Weekly. So we know that they were actually released. So provisioning folder structure for files in a tab in a Microsoft Teams. So how would you actually automate this kind of creation of folder structure? And this basically using just BMP provisioning engine behind the scenes. You could use PowerShell and to automate some of this as well. Absolutely.
Or CLI.
Or CLI. Yes. CLI supports that as well.
I'm biased.
Yeah. Maybe you are, slightly. Xiao Ferreira, that was, by the way, from Joel Rodriguez. Xiao Ferreira had a really nice build a better web part. And we always start by building a better web part, right? Mm. On a SharePoint list to a formatting.
Like in a past, we used to all build a notepad, right? Like there was, like whenever you want to build something, like what is the first app you will build? A notepad.
Yeah, text editor.
Right, and then nowadays we build a weather web part. It's the first bot I build is a weather bot.
Yeah, the first bot is always a weather bot.
Exactly.
But it makes sense because everybody understands what the weather, but everyone knows, like, you don't have to explain what the weather part is supposed to do, right? Everyone knows what it's supposed to do. And it's calling an API and rendering the data and formatting it, which is like what everybody wants to do, right? So it's a great
Example.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this was a really good explanation on how to do that with the low code or no code option. So using a flow behind the scenes and collecting the data in a list or a Microsoft lists list. It doesn't really matter which one we call it. And then a list. Using the list view to JSON definitions to actually do things. But of course, no code. You just need to understand this, right?
You will see there, like, I don't know, 10 lines indenting.
Yeah.
I find that more complex to read than code, to be honest.
Yeah. But you just need to understand, is it with a curly thingy or not curly thingy? It's
yeah. There are actually some curly, some squares, nested inside curly, nested inside squares. Yeah, but it's powerful. It's very powerful. Yeah,
it is.
Exhibit A.
Cute. A few other articles. Yannick Rickman had a how do I stay up to date on Microsoft Cloud. So his way of doing things, because we're releasing so much material, so much things. I think this is one of the big problems for people to keep up to date. And this is just his list of things, how he actually does and what he follows and what are the personal blogs and Microsoft blogs and all of that. So really cool setup as well. A lot of, by the way, things what he's following. So
cool.
Then Louis Fries had a how to create a content plan for your social media activities in a calendar view in a SharePoint list and automate the boring work. So basically how we modify things and automate things as much as possible for automating, for example, pushing Twitter tweets or other tasks related on what is expected to be done. I think in here, she's basically whenever somebody creates a list item, creating a to-do for that particular day, waiting for you to get it done, which is actually quite nice approaching things. Yeah. So it's a good combination, actually, Microsoft Lists and then Microsoft Graph and then Flow to automate things. So really, really cool scenario. Sergey Sergeyev had a SP formatter. It's a really cool tool related on how to build list formatting definitions and make it easier for actually making those things happen, which is a browser extension. This one was demoed last week in the M365 community call and developer community call, and the feedback was like out of this world. So it's really, really, really powerful. And sure, Microsoft is investing here as well. We're making things easier and better. But this one actually has a Visual Studio Code in the creation. You can actually do debugging. You can do all of that stuff. So it's really, really powerful.
This is insane. Yeah. I mean, just the fact that you get IntelliSense on all the different things in there, like, it sounds so simple, but on the other hand, like if you are like five levels deep in hierarchy and trying to edit this one, like how would you know what properties are available, right? So this is already insanely valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few more. Alex Sedomov. Use the Graph Service client with HTTP in multi-threading applications. So basically, how can you create a singleton to access the Graph endpoint rather than instantiating that in a multiple times? So good blog post and summary on that one. Then we had Kevin McDonnell had a really fast blog post series actually related on the Viva topics. So really walking through the different organizing of the knowledge. And he really, really, I think he set this one up within a matter of a day. Nice. And a five different blog posts. Really, really cool stuff.
Nice.
And then Sarah Haas had a video discussion together with Thomas Daly and a few others. So basically a video recording, similar kind of things what we're doing right now to focus on the SharePoint online branding. One thing what I wanted to actually call out in here is to stay within the zones. So don't do DOM injection because that will bite you. So stay within those rails which will provide you as an extensibility points, even though they might be limited for a while.
And also don't take dependency. Don't assume that an element is on a page and it's named X, because that might also change.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Everything changes around you.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. That's the article this time. And if we missed anybody's article, please use hashtag BNP Weekly so we can actually mention that next week. Now, what's happening this week? Anything interesting on your side,
Tom?
It's Monday morning.
It is only a Monday. Yeah,
no idea what's going on.
This week. I don't know.
Yeah, I was all set for the week, and then it snowed, and everything has stopped, and we're now struggling to try and like deal with the childcare and like deal with everything else. yeah, there's some new stuff I want to dig into around the bot framework SDK that looks interesting. So I want to try and get into that and figure out some of that stuff. So. Yeah, and there's also on the Microsoft Teams side, there's a new way of writing applications inside meetings that I need to get onto because that's been there for a little while now. And we've got some good ideas at work for where we want to put that, so I need to get on that. So,
curious.
I'm actually testing that within the SharePoint Framework 1.12 because we're going to release that pretty soon, which will support natively Microsoft Teams meeting applications as well. So the whole point of that one is that with SharePoint Framework, we host your stuff for you. Obviously, if you'll have backend, you need to still call the backend. But making it super easy for having the UX layer. And then we'll kind of support the meeting applications in 1.12, which is scheduled to go out. I can't say the exact date if we go past
Wednesday.
But pretty soon.
A Tuesday
right now. So.
Well, depending on when you watch the recording or listen to it, it might have already shipped.
That is true. It's intended to ship in February. I think it's fair to say.
So. In this year.
In this year. Yes. So testing, validation, documentation updates for me. What about you, Waldeck? Anything you want to tell them?
Last week we moved CLI from Circle CI to GitHub Actions. And the interesting thing about it was like originally I planned for it 2 hours. It took me 7. So like lesson learned, kids, like don't underestimate CI/CD. It's great. But it's like there are differences in there, and it just like it takes a while to get everything in place. But there was big effort that is totally like worth the effort because now we have everything in single place. For this week, we have planned some more PRs on CLI side, and then related to work, we're working on a new module for Learn, the Microsoft Learn side. So that will come up. We really hope really soon. And it's about it's related to graph, something in graph. So we hope that it will encourage more folks to give some tools, specific tools from graph, a try, and that will like allow more people to use it more or easily in web apps. So
nice,
makes perfect sense. Cool. I think that's it then for now. So thank you, Tom, for joining us this week.
Good to
catch up and it's good to hear your historical thing as well. And I've always been so curious about the voice development API side of the house and how that evolved to be what it is right now. I think now, right now, we're all in this big family together building stuff for definitely. Microsoft Teams. So it is pretty cool. But thank you for joining. We'll come back with a new BNP Weekly within a week. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.